Look up. All right, we in this, boys.
What is that?
Are we recording?
Yes.
Oh, okay. This is the beginning of the podcast. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Yes, episode 9.
Episode 9. This is the 14th attempt to the podcast.
Yeah, it's too early. We're going to need to book, like...
You know what? But just so you know, we started saying it's too early like an hour ago. But you know what? It's going to get better. You know why?
Are you putting sunglasses on?
Yes, I got my shades on. Here's the thing, man. I feel better. I look better too. But I will tell you this. I do have a theory on glasses, okay. On sunglasses. Can I just do, yeah, can I rock that right now?
Go for it.
So here's the deal.
This is important. Everybody write this down.
Write this down, people. Write this down. This is going to change your life. Okay. So, if you want to seem cool and important, mm-hmm. cool and important, yeah. You know, two priorities in life.
A good start.
Yeah. It's cool and important. You have to wear shades indoors. Mm. I mean, outdoors, that's for amateurs. Indoors. Number two, if you want to seem intelligent and smart, you need to wear reading glasses indoors.
And outdoors.
No, not outdoors. Outdoors is for amateurs. Okay, it's all about so confined places. Yeah. Wait,
so you wear both indoors?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah. It's tough.
I would.
The pros can pull off like both at the same time. All right, we probably need to get to this podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk about this idea. I think that it actually sparked by some of the comments you made about a talk that I recently gave at camp.
Yeah.
So jump in.
Yeah, so summer camp this year. Took a bunch of kids from Mosaic down to
Anderson. Clayton King Camp, right?
Clayton King and
it's called Crossroads.
It's called Crossroads Summer Camp. It's put on by CK Ministries, Clayton King.
Good stuff, shout out. Good people, yes. Yes.
But yeah, man, you spoke on Wednesday. It was a week-long camp, so we were there for 5 days.
Yeah.
Midweek, and it was awesome. So I just wanted you to speak on that.
Yeah, you came back and you were like, dude, what was, oh my gosh. And
yeah.
I want to know. What?
Yeah, no, I mean, it just definitely, I felt that your message, like, really just, it just changed, like, the dynamics of camp a little bit.
Yeah,
in just the best way. I mean,
yeah.
There was just something that you brought that I think everyone just grasped onto, and it was like...
You think it had something to do with a doll?
You know, that could possibly have something to do with it. But maybe not. I don't know. Could have been the doll. Could have been you brought your son Asher and your daughter Nura onto stage.
Yes, I did that too.
A whole interactive demonstration with them. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I think maybe the doll.
Yeah, the doll story. Yeah, I know. I mean, I heard a lot of people talk about the message afterwards. And even Clayton, when I got done, you know, he was so gracious and so nice. But he was truly just moved by it. So I bring up the doll because I told a story of, a story that I don't talk a whole lot about. It's in my book, you know, Ex-Muslim. Mm-hmm. And a lot of crazy stories are in that book. I mean... But I told a story about my first interaction with a demonic presence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And it was full blown, like, out of a movie.
Yeah, it was. It was. And, you know, I have so many experiences with demonic things, demonic spirits, and things that I can't explain. You know, even my... coming to faith is, and I can't explain it, you know, to, you know, seeing Jesus and radically changing my life there. And it started supernaturally mm-hmm. and it never ended. And,
yeah.
And, you know, in my book, I talk about how, I got an experience with Jesus, but that just launched a whole bunch of experiences that, were unexplainable, and it was definitely from movies, and it had a lot to do with demonic things, and you know, and again, I didn't have any background of, like, you know, I'm not a charismatic, I wasn't a Pentecostal guy, I was just a guy who just came to know Jesus, and the week after that, without even really going into churches and things like that, not even knowing denominations, I was thrown into this supernatural realm of God's power and good and evil and not just even that, but just knowing that there's another world and dimensions out there that that I can't really explain. And I don't want to talk, and honestly, like even in this podcast, I'm like, I don't know if I want to talk about this thing on this podcast because people are going to be like, this guy's an idiot. And I'm not wearing, you know, I'm not wearing glasses. I'm wearing shades. So it's not intelligent. I just look cool. Like, so this is like the worst setup for this conversation. Oh, but I think it's one of those that has really wrecked me because I just recently I read the scripture that I've read so many times before, but it's Paul talking to a church in Corinthians or a church in Corinth, and he says, "I come to you, I came to you, not in confidence, but in gentleness." And then he says something that's so profound. He says, I basically the words that I'm using to preach what I'm preaching about is on purpose because, and here's the key thing. He says, because I don't want your faith to rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God.
Yeah.
And that's wrecked me. I mean, that's been reminded me, and I've been doing church work and ministry stuff for 20 years. And just recently, I'm like, you know what? Forget this, man. I'm like, I'm done trying to convince people by human wisdom that this faith makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you know what? This faith does not make sense. Mm-hmm. And this faith is not rational by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
And for us to even pretend that it has any seemingly, even logic to it, I think it's absurd. I mean, grace that we talk about, it's absurd. The amount we get, the love that we're talking about is just out of there, out of this world. All of the things that we talk about, the power of God, this seems unreal and even hokey in a sense. But all of these things, all of the life that we're talking about in Jesus, especially the life that Jesus said that it was that we had access to, and the faith that we're talking about in terms of living out this true faith inspired by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, I mean, it does not make any sense to have the peace, the confidence, the grace, the love, the purpose, the security that we have. It just doesn't make any sense. So I think I'm kind of in this season right now where, like, you know what? Forget this. If your faith, if I've convinced you to have a logical faith, if I have convinced you to believe in Jesus because I've persuaded you because of my intellect or my whatever, then your faith rests on human wisdom, and it does not rest on God's power.
Right.
And I just would wonder, like, you know, what would our faith look like if it truly rested on God's power?
Yeah, and I think a lot of this comes just from experience in life, right? It's not just from, like, a revelation reading scripture. It's not from, you know, someone preaching you a message and you, like, hearing God through it. I think it's just you living life, right? And realizing that some things that just happen in your life just don't fit into...
No, they don't. They don't fit in. So the other day we were all together with a couple other guys and guys in their 20s, right?
Yeah.
What's the generation called again?
I think we talked about this in the last podcast. I think it's like the millennials, but I think...
I can't say millennials. Oh, I mean, whatever.
Just add it to the list.
Add to the list of things I can't say. Let me try it again.
Camp was we took a group photo, and one of the people at the camp took the photo, and he said, "Say Skrull," like he knew that you didn't know how to say Skrull.
I know.
Some random guy was running. Shout out to him. Words. That was hilarious.
That's another podcast, Words I Can't Say.
Yes.
So anyways, this generation, not this generation, the 20-somethings, the millennials.
The millennials.
Millennials. Millennials? How do you say it?
Millennials.
Millennials.
Nailed it.
Shut up. Okay, so we were hanging out the other night, and so I threw out the question, right? What is the gospel? What does the gospel mean to you? And then, and 2 hours later...
Yeah.
All of the stories are stories of people interacting with God and the power of God or Jesus, the Spirit of God, and it doesn't fit any mold.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sitting there going, okay, maybe I'm not making this up. Like, the moments that define people that are so divine, you know, like what's that word? Kairos. Kairos. Mm-hmm. This idea of like a moment, a defining moment in time. Mm-hmm. These kairos moments that people have with God don't make sense.
Yeah,
they don't add up. Like why and how, and when. I mean, they just don't add up. But mm-hmm. yet they are life altering.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so cool to hear some of the guys. So this group that you were talking about, it was the first time, like I've known them for a while, it was the first time just even in conversation that I've heard them just share some of their testimonies. And it spoke to me because, you know, I think it's normal like when you try to fit your faith into like a box and try to like make sense of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you discredit the things that actually occurred in your life, like spiritual events or whatever. And just to hear other people have those things. We were sitting there and we were just like, this is real.
Yeah.
This is real.
And you know, I think, you know, coming from a Muslim background to a Christian background, like, so understanding that, you know, in Islam, you know, you don't have a lot of denominations, you know, mm-hmm. you just don't. You have maybe three big ones, you know, in terms of like, you know, dividing up the Muslim population. But when it comes to Christianity, and I think part of it also is a European Western thought, mm-hmm. this idea of a concrete statement of faith or a, mm-hmm. a sense of theology is so important, you know?
Yeah.
In Islam, we don't have that. You don't have like a written down, this is systematic theology.
Sure.
You just don't. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's connected to an Eastern faith, but... I've, since coming to the States, I've struggled with this. I've understood this because I've lived it. It's this idea of like being effective and efficient and trying to get everything together to make it, you know, not in one sense predictable but teachable. So like you have to like get all your experiences. You have to make somewhat sense of them. You got to write them down so you can transfer them to the next generation. Mm-hmm. I mean that's really a beautiful thing, just because we're the only, species, you know, that you actually learn, have the ability to communicate, not just learn things, but learn and communicate them to the next generations. Mm-hmm. You know, animals don't get to do that or experience mm-hmm. that. So I get the beauty of, you know, us writing it down, understanding it, making it like pliable, practical, teachable, and then, you know, spreading it so more people can mm-hmm. understand it. And I get the idea of doing that with even your faith. But then as soon as you do that with God, as soon as you do that with spirituality, you do make sense of it. You do make like, okay, this is these are the handles, these are the things that I can kind of, you know, anchor my faith in. And I totally understand that, but as soon as we do that, we go, this is how God works.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, I don't mention this a lot, especially when I speak out there, and I think I mentioned in my book, I'm not quite sure, but the when I came to faith in Jesus, mm-hmm. and the way I did, basically got attacked by demons and then saw Jesus in my room.
Yeah.
And you know, my first encounter with the supernatural was evil.
Mm.
It wasn't like I had this beautiful sensation of forgiveness and all that. No, it was pure evil trying to kill me. Like, I mean, again,
it's like every Christian's typical story.
right. But see, here's my problem. As I say this out loud, I'm like, this is nutty. Yeah. Why are you saying this? Because no one's going to listen to this anymore. Because I have this, I don't know, I've insecurity of like, I don't want to sound like an idiot.
Well, I think that's just like what we were saying, man. Like you have these encounters, they don't make sense. So you tell yourself that they weren't real. Nobody will get them. I can't tangibly teach somebody this experience.
Right.
So I'm not going to try.
Right.
And I'm not going to talk about it. So I'm just going to suppress it. And like this experience happened to me, whether someone believes it or not, I'm not going to try to teach it because it doesn't fit into this mold.
So right. Yeah.
I try to teach
and it. And I think that's been my problem because it's like, because if I tell the, I know this, a part of me in my mind, I know that stories transform people's lives. Mm-hmm. You know, words inform people, inspire people, but stories mm-hmm. transform them. And so my story, not just one story, but my stories and your stories and people's stories mm-hmm. have the ability to just shift people's frame of mind yeah. and move them to a different space even. But yeah, when I think about my first encounter was evil, and then it went super amazing with Jesus in the room. And then after that, there were like countless times of like just ridiculous things yeah. that took place. But that first week, or 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I'll tell you this: when I came to faith in Jesus, right after that, I started telling people about it. I couldn't believe their responses. Hmm. Like there was a lot of like, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you don't know about what? To the point where I went to a guy. And I said, am I going crazy? Because I'm experiencing all of these things. And that whole month, I experienced more supernatural stuff. Mm. And I told, and as I talked to people, they're like, yeah, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what? I didn't even know.
I experienced it. What do you mean you don't know?
Right. Like, I don't, like, it was so confusing to me. Because I did not know that I actually had met Jesus mm. by the end of talking to people.
Wow.
And then I started doing this, which is so dumb, but I did it, is that when I would see these random televangelists on TV and they would do a prayer, like a sinner's prayer mm-hmm. or something, I'd be like, okay. And they're like, touch the screen. I literally did that. I went and touched the screen. I don't admit this and will not admit this ever again, but I did whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know if I've done this because what everybody is telling me in church is not lining up mm. with what I'm experiencing. It's lining up with the stories in the New Testament for yeah. sure. But at church, they don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I must be off because they obviously know better.
Right.
It was the most confusing time. And then I started searching and looking for myself because, you know, coming to Jesus before coming to church is refreshing but also confusing sometimes mm-hmm. because usually definitely. People come to church and then they find Jesus.
Yeah.
So you have the context and you can just go, okay, and I've got the room set up sure. and here he comes. But I had no idea. And so I'm telling people stories about dolls and demons and angels and Jesus doing this and the Spirit of God telling me this and da 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 and people getting healed. I mean, and I'm thinking, no one, like, I'm experiencing things, I'm doing things, I'm praying for things, and I'm seeing things that are not normal. Mm-hmm. So what's going on? And I think, you know, why I think this podcast is important to me personally is because, you know, the one of the problems or one of the dangers in doing church work for so long is that you leave the wild. You leave the wild and you domesticate your faith. You know, you just start, okay, like, well, this doesn't make sense to people, so right. let's just start making sense.
Right.
And let's tell stories, and let's give analogies, mm-hmm. and let's do illustrations that actually make sense to people.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not really going to make sense to people to tell people, like, oh, I remember my greatest moment where I felt that God would always show up with, for me, was when I was pinned down middle of the afternoon by a demon, and I thought I was gonna die, and I was like, I don't think you're going to show up. And then he showed up somehow. In the corner of my mind, or in his, I don't even know how he did this, and stopped it and spoke into my soul that said, I'm always going to be there for you. And I just remember just weeping. And that moment solidified for me once and for all that regardless what I went through and where I would go, he would never leave me. So when I read the verses that says, you know, that David said, you know, God, where can I go from, you know, and where can I hide from your spirit? You know, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I'm in heaven, you're there. Up, you know, if I am high, low, it doesn't matter. I can't hide myself from you. I don't need those words to make sense. I kind of know, I know that. Mm. I've experienced that. Like, so I know that regardless of, you know, the worst of tragedies or the highest highs and lowest lows, and
I just
know that God is not just with me, he's within me. I mean, you know, there are definitely times where I don't want to talk to him, but there's never a time where he doesn't want to talk to me, you know. Scripture says that, you know, we don't live by bread alone. You know, that's not what sustains us. God's word sustains us. And when you stop and think about that, I mean, we are breathing, we are sustained because he's talking. Mm. I mean, just think about that.
Yeah.
If you and I struggle with sometimes moments where like, oh God, you're not talking to me, you're far from me, you've stopped talking to me, you're not communicating with me, God, speak to me. We exist because he keeps talking. Mm. If he stopped talking, we would die. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. Is that amazing?
That is incredible. I'm actually kind of like speechless. I don't think that's a good thing to be on a podcast. Speechless.
But, speechless, right.
But I mean, honestly, just processing that is just, it's deep.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think come to faith. It's like, for me, I was like a mixture. Like, I came to faith in the church, but also like I had some experiences supernaturally. So for you to hear you like be able to just stand here or sit here and talk about, you know, all these supernatural things and do it in a way that's bold, because I don't know. I just see you do that and not care. Like, just literally go up on stage and talk to a room of 1,000 people about this experience that you had with Christ or with a demon or whatever. And it's admirable, because a lot of people, I think, have had experiences, but they've been taught by the church to just not talk about them because it doesn't fit into their religion or their theology or whatever. So
I'm getting there. I mean, it's still, I have got to fight inner, you know, voices that say, hey, don't do this, you don't look cool or smart.
Well, just put on sunglasses.
I gotta start doing that. That's the thing. I gotta start doing that.
That's all you gotta
I'm do gonna that. Start preaching in shades.
Yes, please do.
Yes. Yeah. And to make a point, I'm gonna switch to reading glasses.
That would be
right.
Like, excuse me, hold on, let me take these off.
Yeah, I'll put reading glasses on, then tell demon stories.
Then it's boom. Like, wow, this is actually...
Mind blown.
I think this is in the Bible.
Yeah, totally. I think Jesus had reading glasses.
I don't know. Were bifocals invented yet? Jesus would have 20/20 vision.
Hey, he
okay?
did, yeah, yeah. If he did, he would sorry, make it. Sorry. I don't know. You never know, man.
True.
You never know. Hey, all right, well, this has been a good podcast. So what's the takeaway, right?
Yeah.
What is the takeaway from this? I think the takeaway is that I think for us, trying to make sense of your season of life, trying to make sense of what God is doing, trying to make sense of your faith, trying to answer all the questions that you have is not a good pursuit. Mm-hmm. I think what is a better, time well spent is pushing into and pressing into and praying and just asking God to say, you know, God, I want to experience you more. I want to see you more. This season, this pain, this joy, this purpose does not need to make sense to me. I'm gonna move, knowing that you're gonna lead me, and you know, you lead, I follow, mm-hmm. and I'm just gonna move towards that, and God, I'm gonna just step into all the things that you have for me, regardless if they make sense or not, and mm-hmm. that my faith does not rest on human wisdom; it rests on your power, and that regardless what I feel, I know that you are always talking to my soul, because my soul is sustained by you. And so, yeah, I hope this is encouraging. I hope that it allows us to break free from maybe some of the, you know, things that we've said to our souls, you know, for what is possible in our lives. And I hope we press into what God has for us. How do we do that? Maybe next episode we can talk about that a little bit more. But it really starts with saying, God, you don't have to make sense to me.
Mm. That's so good, man. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know it's always fun on my end, so I hope you have a good time over there too. But we love you guys for listening.
Yes.
It means the world to us. We just ask you continue to share, like, subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah. I feel like not a lot of people know about this podcast. You know, they know about the Mosaic Church podcast, sure. but not this one. So, yeah, friends, if you could share this, you know, maybe take a picture, yeah. post a picture of the podcast.
Oh yeah.
You know, love for us to get some more subscribers.
Yeah, that'd be great. Help us out. Cool.
Awesome.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Later.